Welcome to the Stewards of Stoke podcast, an adventure podcast that gets you stoked for the outdoors through stories, interviews with athletes, and industry professionals. Sit back, grab a hazy, and join Matt and Braven for this episode of Stewards of Stoke.
What is up, guys? Welcome to the Stewards of Stoke podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Matt.
And Braven here on the mic.
What is going on, my dude?
Oh, it's been a slow month for riding here for me. The weather's changing. It's getting a little darker. And just life responsibilities have gotten in the way a little bit.
Adulting is bullshit.
Baby on the way, getting the room cleared out and set up, and had some flooding in my basement. So I've just been dealing with that.
It's been kicking your ass for a bunch of nights.
Weddings, everything. You know, just a lot going on and a lot keeping me out of the saddle. And it's not where I want to be sitting right now. But
yeah, you know, I hear you on that one.
I've been getting out a little more.
Yeah, you got your outbound lights now. So
got the outbound lights.
Ripping at night.
Got to get outbound lights. You know, weather's changing. The days are getting shorter. And, you know, I used to ride with just a black diamond headlamp strapped to my helmet. And every time you hit a damn bump, it's flying off and smacking me in the face, or it's flying totally off the helmet. And, you know, that worked for a little while, just, you know, biking on a budget. But, you know, the outbound lights, I think a couple thousand lumens or something crazy like
that. Yeah, I think it's like 1,000 or 2,000.
Yeah, like 1,200 lumens or something.
Definitely helps you see.
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, you can see clearly out in front of the trail. Now, I've just got the portal right now that just goes on my helmet, which, you know, is really cool, too. I found some other uses for that headlamp. So it straps onto your headlamp or your helmet just like a GoPro would. So the same mounting system that a GoPro uses with those 3M strips.
Oh, cool.
So it's been cool because...
So is it like the same mount as a GoPro? So
same,
like, if you already had
GoPro.
It on, if you had a GoPro mount on, you'd be able to just throw it in there.
If you got a GoPro mount on, you can just leave it on and keep rolling. I've used it, you know, walking my dog late at night or early in the morning. I strap it onto a GoPro pole and I'll walk around with that. It's awesome.
That's funny. I'm over here.
The next up is just getting the Evo handlebar lights, and that way I can really light up the night.
Oh yeah.
I was out riding the other night and my wife had a friend over and she was leaving, and I came around the corner and as she was leaving, and she called my wife and said, "Hey, I just saw a dude on a mountain bike with this insanely bright light. Is that Braven?" And she was like, Probably. Like, just tooling around town here.
That's funny.
Yeah, outbound lights, man. Oh, yeah. I hear, you know, they're pricey, but they're worth the money.
They got that combo deal though. Just over 400.
Yeah, you really save like $5 or $10. So if you're wanting to pull the trigger on it, days are getting shorter, just do it now. You know, they run they're a company that only runs sales on Black Friday because they don't want to undercut their retailers. But
that's fair.
I would definitely jump on that. So either wait till Black Friday or get it now if you want to get some miles in.
Yeah, I feel you on the adulting thing. I feel like we've been nonstop. I know if you've been listening, Braven and I are both expecting babies. I am basically waiting on the phone call for my wife that her water broke, so we're any day now. Due date technically is the 21st, but been at home a lot taking care of her and just keeping our toddler distracted so she can try to get some rest. And then she's also a teacher, so she's been working her butt off because we have conferences next week for that. So,
what's your toddler think about all that? Is he grasping the concept that he's getting a new baby brother? Or is he?
I think he like understands. Like he talks to my wife's like stomach, and he seems very excited. Obviously, when
different story
when he gets here, we'll see how all that goes. But I mean, I'm taking 2 months off, a little over 2.5 months off. So
there you go.
I feel like if I need to, we can take Weston out on the trail and get him snowboarding, and I think he'll be fine. Yeah, I think it'll be shock at first, but I think he'll be fine. But yeah, other than that, just trying to. We went to New York to visit the family, and just
hanging around.
Hanging around, but somehow still feel like I'm ridiculously busy.
I know,
but it's all good.
It's that time of the year.
Yeah, so to get into today's episode. We're going to chat about some new beers that we've tried, or new beer that I have tried, because Braven's been slacking on the new beer, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. I got a little input here. It's not necessarily a new beer, but it's one that Colorado listeners probably aren't as familiar with.
Okay. We discovered Mountain Flyer magazine, which we're pretty pumped about. Trek has a new full suspension gravel bike. We got some new trails planned in Colorado Springs, and then some winter plans. So first, one of our favorites, beer. What were you going to mention that followers should
check out? Had it when we were hanging out with Vince the other day, the Hazy Hearted IPA by Bell's Brewing out of Michigan.
That's pretty damn good.
You know, other than Colorado, you know, maybe some of our West Coast states, I think Michigan's one of the highest breweries per capita there. And so they brew some really, really nice beers coming out of the old Mitten State up there. But the Hazy Hearted IPA, it's a hazy version of the Two Hearted IPA, which, you know, backstory for anybody, the big Two Hearted River up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, Ernest Hemingway actually wrote about that spot. That's a place that's been near and dear to my heart. So, you know, just getting into IPAs, I go grab a Two Hearted IPA and I spit that shit out. I was like, this tastes like I'm munching on flowers here.
Gross.
You know, got a little bit older, palate matured a little bit, got back into the IPAs, and, you know, when I saw they had a hazy version of that, I was like, oh, yeah. So if you can, run out local liquor store. A lot of liquor stores around here and will carry Bell's Brewing. Give it a shot. It is worth it.
Oh,
what
yeah.
are you what you were sipping on? You sent me a picture the other night. Some Grand Teton Brewing?
A little Grand Teton Brewing, the Juicy IPA. Like I told you, so they're based out of Victor, Idaho, which when I think of Tetons, I guess I automatically go to Wyoming, but
it's
obviously
right on the border there.
Yeah, they spread right on the border. But it's like a juicy tropical like IPA. And like I told you, like normally if I'm at home, if I do have a beer, I have like maybe one and like I'm good. And I somehow managed to crush, I think, three of them in like less than like 2 hours.
All right.
Which
just
is
a little
like
short term alcoholism.
Yeah.
Binge drink. I love it.
Yeah. Like it was just so good. Like I couldn't get enough of it. And then, so I followed them on Instagram, of course. And I think I paid like 15 ish or so for my six pack. And they do like a case of the month, but that's obviously only at the brewery. So their case for the month is $25.
Ooh, you got rooked, buddy.
I'm like,
hey, but if the beer tastes that
good, yeah, like
cares,
I
right?
yeah, like I'm gonna go back and get more, guaranteed, probably
Absolutely.
By this weekend. But like, yeah, it was so good. But then I'm like, I paid, I don't know what that breakdown is, like three something per can. And then, well, not quite three something, like $2.75. And then, yeah, they posted it, like they just happened to post it like within the 2 days of me trying it. And I was just like, man.
And the bill's still lost.
Oh, don't get me started.
I'm sorry. I gotta back up. I forgot to talk about some recent things we did within the snow kind of situation here.
The snow situation?
Yeah. Went over to Mountain Chalet.
Oh, yeah.
And had a nice little discussion there. It was very avalanche savvy. So a lot of avalanche awareness. Pikes Peak Alpine School was there, you know, discussing avalanche safety. So it was a really cool little intro, especially if you're not used to any backcountry kind of stuff. You know, getting a footing and a holding for figuring out where you need to start with that kind of stuff. You know, you don't want to go out into the backcountry unprepared without any experience. You know, that's just a recipe for disaster.
Oh,
we know
sure.
that Colorado, tons of avalanches every year. Weak snowpack around Thanksgiving usually, and it, you know, sets up a bad forecast for the year. So did that. It was really
cool.
And
we're getting a shit ton already.
Yes, we are, which is really good. Another cool thing about that setup there was we went and saw Mike Hattrip up there. So he was, you might recognize him from the Blizzard of Oz ski film. So that's an old ski film. If you're into that, definitely check that out. But he gave a little debrief and presentation kind of about his trip to Kamchatka in Russia. So not your typical spot that you think about going to skiing and snowboarding, but it is north of Japan, so it's kind of on the eastern side of Russia there. So right okay. where you get all that snow coming in. So
oh yeah,
definitely a cool thing going on there. So
I like it.
Had to back up there to share that.
Yeah, and then since we're talking about Mountain Chalet, we're headed there this weekend. This will come out after we have gone there, but.
That's
I guess
all right. It gives us more chances to win free shit. I mean, the less of you that show up there, the more chances, more stuff ends up in my pockets.
Yeah, that's true. I guess there's a bunch of like backcountry brands, snowboarding, skiing.
Black Diamond, RMU, all them, yeah. You know, all those guys, a bunch of Atomic Skis, those kinds of guys are there. And last year I made on like a bandit, dude.
Yeah, you did. Didn't you get a Rab jacket?
I got a really nice Rab jacket. It was like a $400 jacket, some ski poles. You know, all sorts of stuff, just avalanche beacons, awesome.
Yeah, you definitely made out for sure. So one of the magazines, if you're into magazines and whatnot,
just Playboys,
the old ones that you'd have to steal from your dad back in the day.
That's right.
The OG.
I actually bought mine at school for $3.
little drug deal out of the locker.
Oh, it was the pages were sticking together, but other than that, we're all right.
Hey, as long as they weren't before you got them.
Ah, no. Funny smell too.
Oh God.
Back to this magazine, man.
Yeah, back
sorry.
To the. So we recently discovered Mountain Flyer magazine. One of the reasons I'm mentioning it is because I feel like the majority of magazines in general are pretty much the same. A shit ton of advertisements, maybe. Ooh. Maybe 2 to 3 articles, and
I also feel like too it's stories that you've already seen online and yeah. gotten to dive into, and you're
yeah,
like
it's almost
like secondhand news.
Yeah, like unless it's like they're writing them themselves or like it's news they're kind of breaking. Like it's yeah, like you said, we've already known about it for a couple of months or something like that. But that's why we're talking about Mountain Flyer. So I ordered the. Issue number 80, which is their, I think, 20th anniversary release. So it's maybe like 4 or 5 pages in the front of like their handpicked sponsors, not just like random sponsors. It's like Yeti, Osprey, and just like very specific brands like that. And then after that, it's literally just 150 plus pages of articles that you actually want to read. There's one they kind of pay tribute to Dirt Rag Mag, the couple that founded Dirt Rag Mag. And just kind of.
What are you saying? They Dirt Rag shut down in 2020 during COVID, too?
Yeah, I don't think it was. Because of COVID, though, I think it was just kind of like the industry changes, and that's like what I gathered from the article, like industry changes, and then like they had been doing it since, I mean, they were the OG magazine, right? And the owner of it like wasn't willing to get bought out or sell it to anybody because he didn't want it to change and all that, so like they pretty much just ended it, which I mean, if you're that passionate about it, obviously, if some big company is going to buy it, like, that's definitely going to change. It's not going to be the same because we all know how that goes with pretty much everything.
I mean, you look at shit like Vail. I mean, look at it, dude. You see how it goes when the big man comes in and wants to scoop it up. That's why we ski independent. Monarch,
yeah,
baby.
That's what, I was about to say, don't get me started on Vail Resorts. But yeah, and then, like, just the photography, like, I looked up a bunch of the photographers that they use for their magazine, and it's not just like your mainstream dudes. Like, it's kind of the smaller dudes who also have the passion of mountain biking, like just getting some of insane like pictures, whether it's like more artistic ones or just like hardcore riding ones.
Well, and you kicked that other issue over to me to check out and mm-hmm. and kind of get my nose into it. And it's one of those big magazines. It's a big hardy magazine. It feels good in your hand. You mm-hmm. open it up. It's, and like you said, it's got good photography in it along with good stories. I'm still busting through that, you know, with that many pages of stories, but yeah. it's a cool magazine.
Yeah. And I like to, like, they do a full feature in that issue of all the women of Rampage, Red Bull Rampage, which is like a very brand new category from the beginning. It's pretty much just been like an all men's competition. And then I think last year or like the year before, like they finally invited women, and I mean, they're fucking sending it like
way harder than I would. That's for sure. And I mean, we like bikes and more people in the sport is always a good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, opening it up to different people, different genders, whatever. I think that's always a good thing.
Yeah, and I think it's like I want to say like on their Instagram, it's a like their philosophy is stories like written by writers or something like that. And yeah, it's very, very evident in that. So if you get the chance, shoot over to Mountain Flyer, check them out, and you can order like individual issues if you just want to try one, or you can subscribe. I think it's like a 2 or 3 time a year release, so it's pretty cool. So you want to bring up the next little topic there? I know you're excited about this one.
I'm
since
super
you're
excited.
Starting to get into it.
Still diving in some, but you know, the 70 miles of new trails going in here in Colorado Springs with a potential lift served bike park.
There we go.
Which, you know, with recent news, lift served bike parks aren't getting a lot of love up in Jeffco up there.
Yeah.
But here in Colorado Springs, we are welcoming it. Yeah, a bunch of haters. Who doesn't like downhill mountain biking? But 70 miles of new trails going in. There's talk about infrastructure to get a trail going from Blodgett Peak open space all the way down to Cheyenne Canyon, Cheyenne Mountain State Park,
yeah.
Which, you know, you look at that Front Range and you see all the prominent peaks right there, mm-hmm. and just imagine riding all the way from Cheyenne Mountain to Blodgett open space. And I think it's going to include Fisher's Canyon open mm-hmm. space, which is that new one that we just acquired as well.
I was going to say they just acquired that lot end of last year, I think, right?
Yeah, and I think Colorado Springs Mountain Biking Association's had a big
just
hand in 2021. That, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, so
we're
getting our article from singletracks.com. But yeah, it says Keith Thompson, executive director of Colorado Springs Mountain Bike Association, has kind of spearheaded significant trail projects and whatnot. And I know that trail, I guess, is 50% done already.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you're basically looking at a map, it'll basically go from the Air Force Academy, just south of the Air Force Academy, literally all the way to Fort Carson, which is the south side of Colorado Springs. But then along with those trails, I think, you kind of mentioned it. It's there. If you're looking at the mountains, there's this really big, just like
big tan scar
spot on the side of the mountain. And that is where potentially there is going to be some type of lift service. Black Canyon Quarry is where what we're talking about. But I think it's all going to connect into that long trail too. I think like the base of it will go along that trail. So potentially you could ride from all the way Blodgett, stop at the bike park for a couple of laps and then continue on south. But I think, I mean, it'll be exactly like Virginia Canyon is doing basically right now, right? Like,
I would say
literally
so.
A lift service in city limits, ready to go.
The difference is, I think we have a little more parking than they have down in Idaho yeah. Springs there.
Yeah, which apparently, I haven't been up there in the last couple of weeks, but within the last week or two, they've put in parking meters.
Oh, really?
So now you have to pay to park everywhere.
Gosh, the man.
Yeah.
The man coming for my money again.
Uh-huh. I was going to say it's been nice all summer. Like, you just find a spot, park across from, what is it, Yards Tap House. And
good beer.
Yeah. Really good beer. Yeah. Park across the street from the tap house and then ride on in, throw your bike in the car and around the rack and head on over. But
that's the way.
Yeah, I think that'll be super badass if we can get a lift serve bike park within city limits. And
you know, I think how good that's going to be for local bike shops and local retailers. And you know, just highlighting again, Colorado Springs Mountain Biking Association, you know, building mm-hmm. the connections in the community and really rallying people together to get things like this done.
Especially how like new of an organization they are, because they're only, I want to say they're only what, like
a couple years old,
and they've already done Captain Morgan's, which is like our first true downhill, like Black Diamond downhill trail in the canyon. Which connects to ladders, and those are some, I would say, like, they're probably top trails.
I would say world-class mountain biking right here in our backyard. I mean,
for sure.
There's not
literally
many
your backyard.
Get that. Yeah, it is.
You can ride from your front door.
OCC till I die. Or until I can't afford it anymore.
Or until you get priced out.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to move because your fucking basement keeps flooding.
Exactly. Just get into water sports.
Yeah, so we'll keep you updated on the Colorado Springs mountain bike scene and what that trail development looks like. Maybe we get Colorado Springs Mountain Bike Association on here.
That would be awesome. I'd love to pick their brains a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be fun. So we shift
away here from mountain biking a little bit and maybe some other two wheels. Huh?
Well, you got to talk about what you're excited for.
Oh, with skiing here?
No, with the trek gravel bike.
Oh, yeah. Man, I'll tell you what, I have shit on gravel bikers for so long. I borrowed my brother's gravel bike, and oh my gosh, it's a rough ride. Shaking my hands were numb, you know, and you know, you're sticking to more service roads, that kind of thing, for the most part, and it limits
all
a
the boring
bit of,
shit you have to take up to get to Captain Morgan's.
Exactly. So you're riding on the boring stuff. The scenery's still nice, but you know. Without the full suspension, you're just rattled around. It's not fun. But Trek.
I don't think I've ever ridden a gravel bike.
Yeah. Really?
No. Yeah.
You don't need to try it. Unless it's one of these ones.
I was going to say, I'll just wait till you sucker in and buy this thing, and then I'll try it out.
Yeah. But the Trek Checkout. It's our first full suspension gravel bike coming to the market. So I'd imagine, you know, after seeing, you know, I don't know too much about this bike other than just looking at it. It looks just kick ass. You know,
looks like a hardtail with a mini shock.
It does. Hardtail with a mini shock here. You got front dampers and forks there, as well as your rear shock too. And you can load this thing out with whatever you want if you want to do some bike packing. I just think that a bike like this is going to open up so much more riding capability, you know, for those guys that want to do majority gravel and service road type of stuff. But then also, you know, you want, if you're bike packing and you're going a great distance, you're going to be getting off trail a little bit. You're going to be jumping curbs, whatever sure. that is. And, you know, I could picture somebody like your buddy Eric jumping on a bike like this. You know, that's, you know, following that guy on Instagram and seeing all his adventures, he seems like he'd be a good candidate for somebody for something like this.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I feel like I could see him go either way just because he's done, like, he's gravel biked from Colorado to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And
now you want to talk about boring. Yeah. I'd say the adventure would be fun, but the scenery
Kansas?
In between
oh,
here.
God. Can you imagine riding a bike through Kansas?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I'd be happy because I'm on a bike, but
it smells like cow shit the whole time.
Yeah, it'd be like going up to Greeley.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it would. Two places to stay away from.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just looking at this bike, for me never touching a gravel bike and not really having any desire to, like, I would probably totally try to rock this thing. But it's got 29 by 2.2 inch tires, comes with a sleek integrated rear rack complete with pivots.
Looks like they also changed the geometry on this bike a little bit too. They got,
yeah,
looks like it's a little more upright. It's got a longer stance, you know, helping with that stability component, and, you know, just changing, you know, as the sport evolves and needs and desires change. I feel like Trek is keeping up with that here.
Yeah, they're definitely, definitely crushing it with this thing. It looks super cool.
Absolutely.
And I like the tan tire sidewalls.
I'm a sucker for the tan.
I'm a sucker for it. So, yeah, they definitely sold me. Where's the...
The price thing on this, though.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It's pretty hefty.
That's what I was looking for. Oh, here you go.
You know, you're between mountain biking and gravel biking, you're probably going to have to pick one or the other with this thing, unless you're, you know, Bill Gates, big ballin'. But $9,000, or more specifically, $8,999.99. Yeah. It's a hefty price for a gravel bike.
Yeah, I mean, if you're, that into it, like, I mean... I guess
it's an investment.
Some of the e-bikes are up that way. Like,
it is.
If you get somebody that feels the same way we feel about downhill or enduro, like,
yeah, it's good for your health. It's good for your mental health. Everything, you know.
But that's like the fully loaded, like, carbon version, I think, right?
I think so. It's got, you know, the SRAM Eagle and all those components on it.
Carbon
so.
Wheels.
Yeah, it's definitely your higher price line.
I think your medium price is
$5,799, and then it goes down to $3,699.
That's just the frame.
Oh, that's the whole. Yeah. Ran into that problem when I was looking at
the
Yetis
frame
too.
Sets. Frame sets are available. 5 pounds. That's why just the frame set costs $3,700.
I think my newborn baby's going to weigh more than that. It's impressive.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
the color scheme, though, is pretty...
Oh, it's really cool. And, you know, everybody's always trying to cut weight. You know, you're always looking at carbon wheels, whatever you can do to cut weight. And so if you can start off with a bike like this that's going to kind of get you there already, you know, you're great. I will say, though, I'm pretty partial towards Specialized right now. That's what I'm riding with my full suspension. So hopping on a Trek is it's tempting, but...
Maybe you can do a little demo ride first.
Yeah. That's
make sure you don't have to... Go for a trek with a Trek.
Yeah, it's true. I've heard some things.
Heard a thing or
just
two.
Just kidding, Trek. We hope just you're kidding. Listening here.
Just kidding. Yeah, Trek, you know.
We love you.
If you want to let us demo some stuff, like we won't say anything.
I've ridden Trek bikes. They're great. They're great bikes. Love them. All right, man. Should we shift this gear a little bit and start talking about winter?
I see what you did there.
I've been really, really excited. I'm hearing that we're gonna have a nice gnarly wet winter.
The look on your face right now is priceless.
I already bought my season pass to Monarch. Getting ready to rip here.
Now that they got No Name Basin,
that's gonna be open. No Name Basin opening up. So a big terrain expansion coming to Monarch Mountain.
I think it's gonna make it like a third bigger.
Yeah.
So 33% bigger. Drops into a big bowl on the backside.
Draw more people in, kind of helps spread out the people that are already coming up here every year, you know, because the sport's only growing, more people are coming out, and which isn't a bad thing. It's always a good thing, and it prompts things like expansions like this, which is really cool. So, Monarch, going to be riding there probably the majority of the winter, but where else are you thinking you'll be riding this winter?
I mean, I don't know where I'm going to be riding this winter. We'll see.
Same here. We're both going to have infants.
Maybe while I'm on paternity leave, Weston and I can get up there. He'll be, almost 2.5. We should be.
Yeah.
Should be good to start getting them on a board, at least the bunny hill.
Just don't forget about me. I want to see the little dude rip.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully Monarch's going to be open to where you don't have like a 1 week old.
You know. We'll find a way around it. Life finds a way, my friend. We will still be there.
I mean, I'm sure I'll get out a couple of times. Hopefully.
You know, I haven't been to Copper yet. Pretty classic ski area that many people around here love, and you know, it's covered in our past.
It's been a minute since I've been to Copper, but that was definitely like when I had my season pass and whatnot. Like that was my spot. Because it has like your typical like Colorado resort feel, but like clientele wise and people who are riding there are definitely a lot more like local and
steezier. That's what the cool kids might say.
Steezier, I like
steezy.
It.
Steezy.
Yeah.
So we'll probably get up to Copper. I think think as far as, you know, multi-state trips and international trips, we're pretty strapped this winter.
Yeah.
You know, between time and cash with this new baby coming. I think we'll be sticking around Colorado, which isn't a bad thing. We've got a wonderful bunch of ski areas here.
It depends if you ask Dan the man from Fly Low, though.
Dan the man.
He might think differently, but
yeah, hanging out in Tahoe would be pretty darn cool, wouldn't it?
Maybe next season.
Absolutely.
When the babies are at least one.
There we go. Cali trip.
Hell yeah. Yeah. And then if you haven't seen it, I ride a Weston backwoods snowboard, and we got the name for our 2-year-old from my Weston backcountry hat that I had on. So I'm a little, I don't want to say biased, but invested, I guess, in Weston backcountry snowboards.
Well, you didn't want to name your son Burton? Come on now.
Definitely did not. But their winter 25-26 line just recently dropped, and John Fellows, who is the artist that designs their boards, absolutely crushed it on this one. I actually just got a Weston backcountry board like right before Montana 2 years ago, I think, and I really want to buy one of these.
If you do it, I'll do it. That's the tale as old as time there. If you do it, I'll do it.
No, give each other peer pressure to where we have to do it.
But
new for this year is the Narnia. Is that how you say that? The Narnia?
I think so, yeah. But spelled like you think...
Like Gnar, like
Gnar,
Shred the Gnar.
G-N-A-R.
G-N-A-R, yeah. It is a combination of their Ridgeline and their Riva.
Mm-hmm.
Raw power of new carbon fiber S-weave stringers.
So a little bit lighter board, but probably stronger is what I'm hearing out of that.
Yeah, and then it's a unisex freeride all-mountain hybrid. So that's one of them. And this thing's pretty cool because it has like a Viking person. I don't know. Yeah, like a Viking halfway down, and then some classic John Fellows mountains kind of towards the front binding. And yeah, like it's super sick.
It is. Yeah. And as somebody who's kind of in the market for a new board, this is very tempting.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You need to get one of these. Anyway. And then the other one is the Dream Machine. Rise and Range have merged. So I'm assuming those are the two boards that they basically meshed together to make a unisex model. And this will dominate the all-mountain category. Hourglass shape. So I think it's a little more specific all-mountain versus free ride.
A little bit of park riding, a little bit of powder.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
For sure. And that design is some classic John Fellows mountains, but snowflake in the middle, and it's like both designs are super sick. I think I'd get the Narnia if I was going to get one of the two of them, just because that Viking and the design overall is super badass.
The Viking is strong in all of us, hey?
I like it.
You gotta get out to check out the new Teton Gravity Research film too. Pressure Drop.
Yeah, you went to that last week?
Yep, last week. Very good film. Wonderful, wonderful athletes in there. Kind of follows, you know, getting that stoke up for winter. Really early in the season, you know, everybody's hooting and hollering. Everybody, you know, somebody hits a big old jump or, you know, a big avalanche or a wipeout, and everybody's hooting and hollering. You know, you can just feel the stoke rising for winter. And
yeah,
you get give Pressure Drop a watch, too, if it's touring around
like,
to see with you.
I feel like anything that has to do with TGR definitely brings the preseason stoke and
it does,
atmosphere.
You know, TGR, you know, you got Jeremy Jones, big guy in those films, and big advocate for our winners and with Protect Our Winners and things of that nature. So definitely give it a shot if they're touring around you. I would highly recommend it.
Cool. I think that's all we got.
I think so. It's probably time to go get out on a bike.
Yeah. Sounds about good.
Let's do it.
All right.
Let's leave these fine people alone.
Tuning in. Make sure you follow us on whatever platform you listen on. Give us a shout on Instagram. Shoot us a DM. If you want some stickers, let me know and I'll send them to you.
They're pretty dope too.
Yeah, we got a bunch of new ones that Braven here designed. A little Toyota influence and whatnot. So they're pretty cool. Yeah, or email us info@stewardsofstokemedia.com. And as Weston Backcountry would say, go forth and slay pow.